Diamonds in my teeth, I got a lot of shine. Running up the number, that's a lot of crime. If you try to take it from me, must be out your mind. I keep playing, lot of slime. Smokey in the air, that's a lot of prime. Pockets running over with the dollar sign.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon. We're here with the Eagles beat report, and I'm here with Evan Hollywood Hearn, and our special guest today is Chris Franklin from NJ.com. We like to call you the new guy on the block. I mean, I heard you have an album cover coming out. Did you know about that? New kid on the block. I mean,
step by step, you know, I just try to go ahead and make sure I get the information out there for, oh gosh, that's great.
Yeah, I'll bring that up for you with that.
Great. Oh, that's great.
But, you know, it's weird because, I mean, you've seen a pandemic season. You've seen, social unrest. You've seen a franchise quarterback shipped out of town, and you've seen a QB controversy all in your first year. The great Les Bowen is moved on. Paul Domowicz has moved on. Chris Franklin building. How are you doing and how are you feeling?
I still can't believe I'm where I'm at right now, to be honest. It's amazing when you see the amount of talent that's in that media room. I mean, you mentioned Les, you mentioned Paul. I mean, you got Jeff McClain, you got Jimmy Kemp, you got all these guys, and you still just read their stuff online. All of a sudden, you find yourself in there and conversing, and you're watching the same stuff up close. It's still a surreal feeling. And you look at just what happened over that year. I mean, you can only say it goes up from here because it was a lot thrown in that first year. I mean, the way we covered it with the Zooms and trying to get stuff in a whole different way. It was a unique experience, but like the players say, you learn from your experiences and you go on from here. It's you really, truly do. And I'm looking forward to this season and hopefully seasons beyond.
Absolutely. And as Gail said, you started in such a weird time with the pandemic, the transition. We honestly thought for the past few years that Carson Wentz was going to be our guy for years to come. And while the jury is still out on Jalen Hurts' early career, do you think the fans should be excited for his future? Or do you think that this is something that is realistically going to be more short-lived with all of the Deshaun Watson rumors that are now budding and out there? And did we just have that transition to Jalen Hurts and it was so nice to see a quarterback that was competent? Did we get too excited about Jalen, or are fans, should they get excited about something real?
I think Jalen Hurts will surprise a lot of people this season. And I say this looking at the person who he likes to emulate. The one player quarterback he said he likes to emulate is Russell Wilson. And when you look at the first four games of Russell Wilson's career and you compare it to the first four games of Jalen Hurts' career, they're eerily similar. And Hurts is going to have had a full offseason. He got used to his receivers. He's got another one, Devonta Smith, who he's already familiar with. And he's got the intangibles. I just look at everything that he brings and the potential system that the Eagles are going to implore. And it just seems like it's the right fit. And I know that all the stuff's out there about Deshaun Watson, but I'll say this, the caveat, if he finishes and the offense finishes somewhere in like the mid-range 15th average, I think the Eagles should move forward with him and use those draft picks to help him build. Cause I think he can be a special guy in the city.
I mean, it's all about that the draft picks, like gold bullion. Like, you want to keep those? And I mean, I get questions from fans all the time. They're like, is this going to happen? If this case clears, is it going to happen? I'm like, I can't count Howie out because he likes to come off the top rope with some moves, and that would be a shocker. I mean, we know the talent that Deshaun Watson has, but you know, some of that off field stuff could, there'd be mixed emotions between the fans. I think.
It's a city. I mean, look back at the history of the Eagles. We had Michael Vick coming back. I mean, I know they're two completely separate things, but he was coming with a lot of heat on him for what happened in his past. And you cannot downplay these allegations. They're extremely serious. And the volume of these allegations, the sheer number of them are extremely concerning. Mm-hmm. I still, even if there's a settlement today and the commissioner says, no, he's available to play and the Eagles have this, I still would give Jalen Hurts that year to prove himself. And we've seen what's happened this offseason. I mean, names like Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson all of a sudden popped up. Who knows who pops up next year? So if Hurts does not play well, there could be somebody who's not even on the radar right now pops up and is available. You can insert him as QB1. So Deshaun Watson is a top five talent, top 10 for sure, top five. But I just think right now there's just too much baggage to bring him into this team, especially with a new coaching staff.
Maybe a discount double check, maybe.
If the receivers prove themselves to be what they are capable of, maybe I'd rather either go through the draft or let them build that way instead of running for like a couple years. But if all of a sudden Aaron Rodgers says, "Hey, Mr. Laurie, Mr. Roseman, I want to play with you guys," I mean, I'm not turning that offer down. I'm not doing it personally, but who knows?
Yeah, I'm trying to be loyal to Jalen right now. I bought a McFarlane custom Jalen Hurts off of eBay. I don't know what I was doing. Nice. Spent about $70 on it. I'm like, you know, I'm gonna rep for this season. I'm gonna hold it down. Now you wrote an article talking about analysts being split on who will have the better 3-year stretch. Wentz or Hurts? What's your feeling on the cusp of Carson last year? Will he rebound in Indy? And was it the right thing for Philly to do?
I think it was time. And I think this season he's going to rebound. And I think he'll do well under Frank Wright long term. I mean, with everything else we've seen with his history here in Philadelphia, mm-hmm. it's going to come down to if he remains healthy enough. That's going to be the key thing. I think Hurts has a big upside. That completion percentage of 52%, I think, is going to improve a lot better. And I think you'll see in the 60s range itself with him. And I think his future is brighter than I personally think his future is brighter than Wentz. I mean, Wentz looked shell-shocked toward the end of this last year. And it for the life of me, I still remember that Giants game when they were up at the MetLife and how he was holding the ball. There was guys breaking open. Jeffries were breaking open. Guys breaking up the middle. He just looked at them and then tried to dump it off. And when they were breaking open, little things like that. And the adversity that he had issues facing adversity. I mean, mm-hmm. Jalen Hurts beat him out. And you want to give the guy who – and he beat him out in a good competition, I thought. I mean, Wentz proved that he wasn't good in that area. So – I think over time, Hurts is going to have – I think Hurts is going to have a better 3-year stretch down the line.
And just building off that question, last year when you were covering the Eagles, what was the moment in your mind when you realized Carson just doesn't have it this year?
I think it was that Dallas Cowboys game when you saw the ball kept going on the ground. When it was hit at home, the ball kept going on the ground. He was missing a lot of receivers. That was the red light, the uh-oh. And I personally thought at every point, it's like, all right, he's going to shake out of this. But yeah, that was a true uh-oh moment. It's like, what's going on here? What's this disconnect? And we saw some past seasons where he struggled early on, and all of a sudden he go in a late stretch, and that never materialized. And
yep.
I agree with Peterson. It was time for him to see what he had. I mean, 4 wins and still can't win in a division that was that bad, and you still couldn't make the playoffs. It was time, and just rough to see.
And it's where you always hear Dak versus Wentz, but that game, it was Ben DiNucci versus Wentz. Yeah, of all seasons. And I was it sounded like a bootleg Italian, Bobo brand that like DiNucci is beating Wentz in the first half. And I looked at those stats. I'm like, this cannot be real.
It's not delivery, it's DiNucci, and it was awful. Yeah. It was bad. It was just bad overall.
It was, man. But just segueing from that, I mean, Carson was one of the leaders of this locker room, and now there's been a lot of moving pieces in this offseason. So, I mean, you've got a closer team than a lot of other fans. Who do you see as budding and becoming the true leaders of this locker room now?
Well, you have Hurts. I mean, he's garnered the respect of a lot of the guys in there. You still have your stalwarts. You still have Kelsey. You still have Graham. I think Lane Johnson is a forward-facing guy. And there's a lot of guys who lead by example. And I think overall, I know Fletcher Cox is he hasn't played up in some people's eyes to the standards he is, but I think he's still a leader. So he garners a lot of respect. You still have Rodney McLeod. Granted, he may be hurt, but he still has a voice in there, and guys respect him. So there's still a good core of leadership in there. And I think when you look at what the successful teams have, they have it when you have the veteran guys and you have the young guys. So one thing I thought that was very interesting that the Eagles did with this draft class, they got a bunch of team captains trying to get that leadership. So you mesh that veteran leadership along with the young guys, and they can learn to become leaders along the way, seeing mm-hmm. these guys and their own experiences. I think that's only going to better the team as a whole.
Sure.
Interesting. I mean, a lot of people just had questions. Like, you think about those, you know, younger guys that, like, in this group, you know, it's funny because I feel like a Devontae Smith, like, I think he already exudes that kind of leadership qualities. I think, you know, he's a guy that he'll lead by his actions. That's one thing I see in his game. You know, Slim Reaper could be the real deal. But now, who is someone on the team that we as fans aren't paying enough attention to?
I'll go rookie wise. I'll go Milton Williams. I really, really like what this guy can potentially bring. I mean, the power. I mean, a lot was made about the spider chart and, wow, look at his power. Well, when you get on the inside, if you can get a guard and you can drive him back right into the face of a quarterback and disrupt that pocket and disrupt the timing with the defensive ends that they have, such as Derek Barnett, when you look at Brandon Graham and now Ryan Kerrigan, you got guys like that coming to the edge and you have somebody pushing that pocket inside. It's crazy. So I think he's one. Staying on the defensive side, I think Sean Bradley, I think he's another guy who does really well. I don't think he's going to be like a starter, but I think he's a guy who can bring some, let's say the thump or the thud. I think he finds the ball very well. He moves sideline to sideline. I think he's good. And I think Quez Watkins on the offensive side, he's got a really good rapport with Jalen Hurts. We saw his agility, his ability to run after yards after catch. I mean, that little spin drive was like one of the drills they had where you go around the hoop and go finish complete route. I mean, the guy is fast. He's agile. He's a good route runner. And I think he's got that connection with Hurts. I think he's another guy that I think to watch out for, not only in training camp, but in the regular season.
Yeah.
Now, shout out to all the Eagle fans that are in the chat. They're all over, scattered all over the country. But I know Chris was open to taking some questions from the chat. One of the first ones we have up on the map is Stephen Puga. He says, "Do you think JJ will improve with this new coaching staff?"
Whew. I wouldn't count anything out. I mean, you have Aaron Moorhead, I think, is still a very good wide receivers coach. And you have Sirianni, who has experience as a wide receiver coach as well. I think it's going to come down to numbers. And you just look at that wide receiving core, Smith, Rager, Ward, and the guy who you hope that J.J. Arcega-Whiteside would have been is Travis Fulgham. And I think right now Fulgham has the inside track. Now, and the one thing I'm worried about, and this happened, this has seen it happens every single year when it comes to him. You look at training camp and he comes in here and like, wow, he's catching things outside. And I remember last year's training camp, he made this toe tapping catch in the back of the end zone. You're sitting like, wow, this guy's here. And then he just disappears in games. And I don't know what that disconnect is when it comes to practice and him performing on the field, but he has to find it soon. Cause if not, I think this might be the last season. It's rough to see, especially with a guy you took in the second round, but
I'm not going to count anybody out. I've heard people talk about Jay Jaw being, could they possibly cross train him to play tight end?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like as a last ditch effort.
I just don't see it because I'm worried about, I know you run the two tight end things, and there's another guy, Jack Stoll, I think is going to be very good too, but that's a different thing. But the Eagles have tried using wide receiver guys in that tight end. I just don't see him doing it. And that's a quick thing to learn. You have to line up to a tackle and know your blocking assignments and then learn how to run a route. Oh, yeah, by the way, you got to do this in 2 weeks or you're going to lose your job. That's just a little – I just don't see – with him, I wouldn't do that for the sake of pass protection, for the sake of route running, everything else. I just think he's got to do it at wide receiver or else I think he's done.
at the very least, has the umbrella not made an appearance at this training camp? I mean, the fans would be up in arms if he's still blocking the sun out with that umbrella.
I hope he's focused more on that football and hoping to bring in that in, catching and bringing that in, because
that also is my figure.
He's got, and that's the infuriating part. He has good hands and he's a decent enough route runner. He just has to put it together in a game, because it's like a lot of wasted talent. You don't want to see that, especially if you have a guy you thought was going to be a contributor in this receiving core.
For sure.
Now, shout out to AJ Torres. He says, which member of the coaching staff has surprised you most thus far and why?
That's tough. I like him a lot. I'm sticking with Sirianni, because I'll stick with the head coach, because going in there, I for one, and I'll be honest, at first, I had my questions about him coming in here. I questioned if he was the right guy for the job. I thought Deuce Daly or some of the other guys that were available should have been the head coach. But slowly but surely, you start hearing what the players, his old Colts players said. You start to see what the players here say. And then you see the way he's interacting and practices and how he's a stickler for the details. It's almost like when you hear Andy Reid, you say, oh, he's a stickler for details. You want to see details. You see this guy, when he wants his routes run a specific way, he wants to see things done specifically his way in that interaction. He seems truly genuine. So for me, I think he's been the biggest surprise. He's turned my perception around a lot. And I think he could have success. Now, granted, we don't know what his play calling style is, and we've never seen him call plays, but I think he's been the biggest surprise there. And if he gets that stuff down, I think this offense could be pretty good.
Like, I don't like banana routes, right? I don't like the, we're going to roll into it. It's stick your foot in the ground and rip it.
Yep.
he's ready to rip it. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just about to segue that. He was talking about, we've been talking a lot of this offseason. We feel like there's one piece that is really missing on this defense, and that's the CB2. So what is your thoughts, A, on like if Howie has a trick up his sleeve, whether or not he's going to pull something out and we'll get another CB2 before the season starts? And also, what have you seen out of Zach McPherson? Has he shown any promise so far?
I think he's been all right in a limited amount of time. We got to see him on the field. I think he's okay. I still have my reservations when it comes to the big, especially the Big 12 defensive things, because the Big 12 sees the defense as an elective.
Yeah.
But I think I think he has a future. I think he'd be all right. I worry about him being a rookie, being on the outside, especially in this division with all those wide receivers that are going to have to face. As for the other CB2s, a lot of it's predicated, they're hamstrung on the salary cap. And I know that that tweet exchange between Darius Slay and Steven Nelson say, hey, like he's open to being here, but it comes to the money. And unless something happens with Zach Ertz all of a sudden, and then they free up the space that way, time is against their side. And I think they still have to find a CB2, because Maddox is a good corner on the inside. I still have a few questions when it comes to him playing on the outside, but it seems like this coaching staff, if it has to come to it, they'll play him, roll him out there if they have to, but I'd go somewhere else.
Now, everyone talks about, the breakout player. Who's your breakout player? Last year, my breakout player was Josh Sweat. So last year we had Josh Sweat and Jordan Mailata have breakout seasons. Who should be the next in line, in your opinion?
Ooh, that's a good one. See, there's a bunch of guys that I'm looking at. I think it's going to be on the defensive side. If I had gotten in my head, I wouldn't be surprised if Davion Taylor shows that he's all right. I put the asterisk if he's healthy enough. Because with him, I mean, with everything, with Jim Schwartz's defense, the thing that they always said was linebackers and safeties are the toughest positions to play in his scheme. Well, you have a guy who's still getting acclimated not only to the NFL game, but to the football. He's athletically, he's really good. And I think if the scheme is simple enough and they put an emphasis on that, they said it early on, they want to make it easy for guys to just use their natural talents. And especially if you look at Jonathan Gannon, if he comes and uses the Zimmer school of the double A gaps and zone behind it. And I think if he gets an opportunity to rush the passer, if he gets opportunity to display that speed and play in space, I think he could be very surprised. So I think Davion Taylor is a guy. And I think the 1B, Andre Dillard, his mindset, he just seems like he's a different player mentally. And when it comes to him, I think he could potentially be – he could make that left tackle battle very, very interesting. And it's going to be close.
So in that vein, do you think that the left tackle position is going to be the hardest competition of the camp? Or, like, what do you think position group-wise is going to be the biggest competitions?
That I think when you look at left tackle, that's going to be one. I think when you look at the running back room, that's a crowded room right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Who's
the odd man out, do you think?
I think Jordan Howard's the odd man out because when Kerryon Johnson was brought in, well, the one thing we used to hear all the time was Jordan Howard's a great pass blocking guy. He's a great pass. Well, Kerryon Johnson's a really good pass blocking guy as well, too. I think Jordan Howard has that rep of he can't catch the ball. He's not that well of a receiver out the backfield. I think he's still good, but I think Kerryon Johnson has that next level. He can do that. And when you look at Sanders, Boston Scott, I think the coaching staff still thinks highly of. When you look at Kenny Gainwell, who he's got some speed, and just the thought of having Sanders and Gainwell on the field at the same time, one in the slot, one in the backfield, and matching up against a linebacker. If I'm an offensive coordinator or quarterback, I'm looking there and salivating my chops on that. But yeah, those three, Gainwell, and unless Huntley becomes like the kick returner, they're gonna need carry forward. And I think I really think Howard's the odd man out on that one. It's gonna be tough.
I'm agreeing with you on that. I think if Kerryon Johnson can bring the thunder and add that other element out of the backfield, you know, like the comment that threw me off was when Jordan Howard was saying that he thought this might be his last hurrah when the phone wasn't really ringing. I was like, bro, like that's, I don't know if that's a good sign.
Yeah,
scary. Running back, it's scary.
It's crazy to think too. He's only like 26 years old. You'd think Jordan Howard is like pushing 30. He's still a young dude.
Yeah, he's
all about running him to death. To me,
yeah.
I mean, for me, I'm like run him to death for 5 years to get another one.
the Nick Saban, like, the Nick Saban view of running backs.
run. Just use him to death and then get another one. I mean, speaking of another one, Kenny Gainwell, a guy that, you know, fell to us. I thought he was great value in the fifth round. You know, Jimmy Smith asked, how do you feel about Kenny Gainwell?
I like him a lot. I like him. And we said this about Boston Scott. We said something, and everybody says Darren Sproles. Well, Gainwell's his own guy. He said himself, he's his own guy. But he has a lot of those same aspects that you saw in Sproles. You cannot not only line him back up, just imagine, I'm just thinking all these different options you can do with him. Just imagine the zone read with Hurts and Gainwell in the backfield. You can run him out on a swing pass. If he runs that Texas route on the inside, matched up one-on-one, if he finds a zone and you have him going to second, third level guys trying to tackle him, that speed he possesses, you can line him up on the outside. All these things, the versatility that Gainwell possesses is just crazy. And one thing I also like that he did is when it came to his zone running scheme, because Eagles like to run a lot of the zone running. Him on the stretch plays, I like that idea a lot. And that a guy who can put that one foot in the ground, sees the hole, put that one foot in the ground and just go, he has that. And the way this athletic, this offensive line is to get him out there. Oh, I forgot screens too. Forgot that. You can do that with him. There's so many places in this office they can use him. And it's just – He has a very bright future with this team, and he could be a very exciting player this season to watch.
Now Maura from Facebook says, I can't wait to see Kenny G out there. You know, I, for one, am loving Kenny G as well. The smooth, sweet sounds of Kenny G. He can't be denied. Cannot be denied.
If I hear he's going up the field as he does that, or if they play that over speakers, just for a touchdown, I'm done.
Hey man, you know. But Maury has a hard hitting question. I'm not sure if you're ready for this. Would you win against Nick Sirianni in rocks, paper, scissors?
That's a good one. I'm going to take it next level. If it's the Big Bang Theory of Rock, Paper, Scissors, Lizard, Spock, I might have a shot at him with that. But I think he's played it. He's got the experience level. I'll do NFL analysis. I think Mr. Sirianni has great experience using that. He likes to, the analytics say he likes to throw rock or scissors a lot, and he'll be good. But I think overall, over time, I might have my moments. But I'll give the edge to Sirianni.
Okay. All right. Evan, you good?
I had one more question that AJ kind of brought up here, and being that, like, I heard so many things about last year, the vibe was different, was weird before the season even started, whether it was Zach Ertz contract dispute or just any of the little murmurs that were coming out of the locker room. So, like, how does this vibe of this team differ from last year when you started?
I think the main thing is there hasn't been any surprise injuries yet. So especially when it came to like Lane Johnson's ankle and some of the other stuff that popped up, I think you haven't seen that. And as of yet, and there's still training camp to go, but it just seems like there's that newness, that new excitement. It's like you got this new car, you want to try it out and see what you have. Just see. I think that vibes a little more, is a little more excited to see, because you haven't really truly seen everything that this offense and defense can do. And especially the defense, you don't know what that's going to be. So there's that excitement and that unknown that's around there, where it's like, hey, this is kind of interesting. Let's see what we have. Whereas I think last year you saw what Doug Peterson and that crew, what they brought to the table. And even though I threw a few wrinkles here and there, you're still pretty much knew what you're going to get. Now, I don't think anybody knew they were going to get four wins, but for when it came to the offense defense, you knew pretty much what you were going to see. But I think that the unknown and the anticipation of what all the new, not only the new coaching staff, but I think Devonta Smith and all the first round players in this draft bring, I think that's the main thing to look.
Sure.
Yeah. Going back to, you know, one of your articles, you know, the deep ball. So yeah, you've written about the possibility of that being back in Philadelphia's offense. Talk about that. And is this something fans can expect in 2021?
I think so. Because you look at the players that they have that can run it. You have Rager. You have Smith with his route running. And I think the main thing I really like is that they're going to – the emphasis on potentially running the ball more. Because a lot of times when you see a team that does a play action and they don't commit to it, especially that second layer, the linebacker's like, okay, yeah, okay, you did that for a show, but I'm not respecting the run. When you look at the Colts offense the last couple of years, – they're among the league leaders when it comes to running the ball, run percentage as well, too. So when you have a team that's dedicated to running the ball, they're going to actually respect that play action. And given the players they have on the outside, if cornerbacks start getting peeking in and worry about, is Jalen Hurts going to run? Who's running the ball? Is Sanders going to run? And then you have to worry about, oh, wait, we got speed on the outside and even in the middle. And when you have Watkins or even Goddard, I think that opens up a lot of big play potential. And you add the fact that you have the offensive line as well, too, is getting healthy. That right side line with Brandon Brooks and Johnson coming back healthy. If they remain healthy, they're going to give them time to be successful. And Hurts has the ability to move around the pocket, find the throwing lanes, the lane to see down the field and throw the ball. And I think it can be a really, really explosive play available for them.
There's been a lot of Miles Sanders disrespect lately. I don't know if it's I mean, there's a lot of Eagle players getting disrespected all the time by mainstream media. But I mean, you know, when I was reading your article, I was like, you know, I feel like if they could just give him, Miles Sanders some more touches. I mean, the guy, he rips off big gains all the time. I know staying healthy would be muy importante, but I'm just saying, I feel like he has that ability to break out in a better way this year. Maybe can we get 1,000 yards? Maybe, is that what to ask? I don't think. Maybe 900. Maybe.
I think given that the stable of running backs they may have, 900 safe to say, and it's not a disrespect because it just means you have a lot of versatility. And you mentioned it; he has to stay healthy. And this is not a slight against him. If he's not a 3-down back, I'm okay with that personally, because you're keeping him fresher. You have a lot of guys who are still talented. And you prolong his career a little bit as well. So I'm not adverse for him not being a 3-down back. I think he has the capability of bouncing back. I think he has that offensive line back, so he can be a little bit better. Consistency is the key. And another thing when it comes to the passing game, I don't think we'll see a repeat of him dropping the ball like he did last year. He had issues coming out the backfield catching the ball, but I don't think you'll see a repeat of that. So Miles Sanders is going to have a bounce back here. He's not. I saw some of his rankings. I think he's around the 15 to 25 range, somewhere in there. And that's not bad, too, especially given the way this offense is going to operate. So he's a good player, potentially could be a great player if he continues to excel and continue to work at some other parts of his game. But he can be good.
Now, Chris, I don't think Miles Sanders would appreciate you talking behind his back.
Hey man, so, I'll see you in a couple. See you in 28th, man. And don't feel bad, man. I'll still say it. I'll say what's up.
Chris, one of the things we've been speculating for quite a few months now as a podcast is kind of that Zach Ertz's time here in Philadelphia is coming to its end. And Merrill Reese notoriously a couple weeks ago went on air and he said something to that effect as well, saying that whoever was interviewing him had a better chance of being on the Eagles roster than Zach Ertz does in a month. What is your thoughts on this? Do you think that Zach Ertz is going to be an Eagle for this next coming season?
I think the time has moved on. And I think it has to happen before camp, because the last thing the team needs to have is have this issue lingering on into camp. I think it becomes a distraction. You look at, I know the Eagles are holding on to him, hoping they can get a decent draft pick, but everybody in the league knows what's going on. So I think at this point you have to take what you can get and move on. That press conference he had after the season, you can see on his face, like it's like he knew the inevitable was coming. And I know tight ends coach Jason Michael said when we had our availabilities with him that he's been in contact with him and he's been talking to him, but I think that's one of those, hey, how you feeling? You sure you want to come back? But I just get that sense that we've seen the last Zach Ertz in the Eagles uniform for the last time. And it's a shame, because he had a lot of marquee moments here with this franchise. I mean, the Super Bowl, he caught that touchdown to help him win it. And it's rough to see, but it's never, I think for both the Eagles and for Ertz, I think it's time to move on, time for a split.
Yeah. I think that might be coming.
And now Tim get a cornerback too. Who knows? They free up the cap space.
Exactly.
Hey, we're really not trying to get rid of Julie Ertz. I know our guy Prime, he's a big fan of Julie Ertz. He doesn't want to see her go. But I mean, obviously, as fans, we love Zach Ertz and what he means to this team and what he's done for the community. So it'll be tough to see him go. Tim Reel, he asked, he said, of the free agency signings, who do you think will be the biggest contributor?
Anthony Harris. Really, really, really high on him, especially if they go with the cover two, cover three. I think he's dynamic enough to be that ball hawking safety that could, I think he can be that guy. And you include him on that back end, I mean, in a support role, because we know, I mean, we've talked just now about the issues at cornerback, but you get a guy who can help on support. And I think he can help in the run game too, coming down. And him paired with Ronnie McLeod could be really good. I think McLeod's, the way he's been looking in his Instagram stories and his social media of him running and moving around, I think he's going to be ready for game one. And if he is having Harris by his side, I think that defensive backfield, at least at the safety level, is going to be really good. So I would say Harris would be the one, with Eric Wilson a close second.
All right. And you mentioned safeties. The crowd is speaking. This is like the third Jacoby Stevens. I mean, there's a little hive developing of Jacoby Stevens stands. I mean, I remember during
kind of like the Trayvon Grimes hive built up.
But I know Jacoby Stevens mentioned about like playing positionless basketball, and he kind of sees himself as, you know, he can play multiple positions. Is that something that you could see from Jacoby?
Yeah, I see him as like the Will Parks one playing a big nickel. I think he's that versatile enough to do something like that. And he's a guy that's really, really intriguing, because you see his speed, his coverage ability, and where you can place him on a defense. I think he's got the speed enough to even sneak in and help with some of that pass rush and some of those exotic blitzes. I see you can do a lot. He's very versatile. You can do a lot with him. And in a pinch, if there is another injury back there, you can still throw him a safety. I don't think he's going to be your on a 4-3 base, I don't think he's going to be that linebacker. I just don't see him with that size. But given if you go in a cover three, even that shell or even a Tampa 2 look where you just have him as the lone middle backer in certain packages and he goes back into coverage, I think he can help him support in that. So I think Jacoby Stevens, if utilized right, if Gannon finds a way to utilize him right, he could be surprising.
Now, Todd from YouTube says, do you think the Eagles make any moves before the season, and who might that be?
The only move I could see, I mean, before Mullins was signed, because I thought they needed another cornerback, the only move I could see would be for another cornerback. And my guy, personally, I think is Steven Nelson. I really, truly believe he's the right player for that. And I think his experience of playing, the amount of zone that he played with the Steelers, the veteran aspect of that, and just adding him on the outside and moving Maddox into the slot, I think that overall, if that happens, if he signs there, that defense becomes exponentially better, but bar none. That defense becomes exponentially better. You have the defensive line, which I think is the strength of that defense, and the ability to get the pass rush. You just need a guy who's competent enough to cover on the outside against these guys, and they get Nelson. I think that adds an additional win to their win total, personally.
I know there's a rap song, X Gonna Give It To You. What about Xavien Howard from Miami? We have three potential ones. We have two. I mean, could you see that? That would be like an out-of-the-box type of trade. Like if they brought him in, I saw him and Darius Slay going back and forth. He was bigging him up on Twitter. He's like, you don't know how hard it is for the stuff he did last year. And would that be a surprising trade?
That would be very surprising. I would see that more as a next offseason move before they make some other corresponding moves. Given their cap situation, given the other stuff they have, I think that's more of a March move for 2022 if they would get that. And I would be all for that because – I'll be all for that. If they don't, either you go next year, you either get Howard or you use one of those picks or trade a couple of those picks to move up to get one of the best corners in that draft. That's what I would do personally. But this offseason, I don't know if that would be able to do, but it would definitely be interesting, though. It'll make things camp even more of a – even more of a circus for sure. Like in the circus, I mean, like, wow, that's happened. Oh, wow, this happened. In this ring, we either have somebody else doing this way. Okay, yeah, but it'd be interesting.
I hope you brought some water, man. Like you're out here talking, you're doing your thing. The people's champ right now. AJ has another question. He says, who is your wide receiver 3 going into training camp?
I'm going to give the benefit of Ward just because he's the veteran. I'll give him the one going in there because you look at, I know Fogum's out, and it's just like Fogum, and I give it to Ward because he's proven he's reliable just because what you have right now. You have – I look at Smith being your ex, the guy who's able to get off the line of scrimmage, press coverage, everything else okay. I look at Rager being a Z, the guy who's off coverage, who's off the line, who can run your go routes, run across routes. And then I look for somebody in the middle who has experience of getting open, can recognize defenses, find the soft spots and get that. And I think that's Ward still. And – I really surprised if they use 4 wide receiver sets a lot because you have just the fact you have Fogum. I wouldn't be surprised on that, but I think right now, given the way it's set up and who do you have at your top 2 spots, I would go with Ward just for that fact. And I wouldn't discount seeing Fogum eventually. I mean, heck, you can put a Fogum on the outside. It's so fun to think about the combination. You put Fogum on the outside, move Smith inside, put Smith Rager on the inside. Yeah, because Rager said he's going to play more in the slot. So put him on the outside with that. It's good, too.
I mean, as long as they're moving them around, I mean, I feel like, you know, you got to move Rager around. You got to get him quick touches early in the game. You know, the jet sweeps, the, you know, pre-snap motion, something I was crying about last year. Yeah. I was like, you know, you could even move him in the backfield if you want. And movement to slot. I mean, that he said he was like Tyreek Hill and Deebo Samuel coming out of the draft. I'm like, can we use him like such? You know what I mean?
Andy Reid had a blueprint. When you see, and I love when he uses this, he has, it's almost like the inverted full house backfield with the quarterback and the pistol look. And then, because you can do so much out of that, you can shift out somewhere else. You can motion him any other way just to see what the defense is running. Then zigzag him back on the opposite way. There's so much you can do with this. And I want to see how creative this offense can be getting the ball into these guys' hands, because they're fast, and you get them in there, who knows what happens.
So Adam Michael Gibbs, he was feeling pretty saucy about what you had to say about Milton Williams earlier. Do you think it's possible he could bust into the starting rotation in his rookie year?
I think only if there's an injury. If Hargrave or Cox gets hurt, that's, I think that's the only time he starts. 6 to 8 sacks, that's ambitious. That's very ambitious. I'm happy if he got 2 sacks and is creating a lot of pressure up the middle to let the defensive ends get theirs. I'm all for that, because I know he can play defensive end, and he can get that. He'd be part of a package where he is a big defensive line package. He has a spot mainly on short yard situation. But if he gets 2-3 sacks, a bunch of hurries, and is able to make the quarterback uncomfortable in the pocket, I'd be happy with that, especially for his rookie season.
For sure.
Now, we had a question that was sent in. What game are you looking forward to covering the most this season?
I'll give from a football standpoint, I'm really intrigued by the Atlanta Falcons game, that opening game, because you have 2 rookie head coaches. I really like Kyle Pitts, and if he fell to the Eagles, I would have taken him, but there's no way. He's just that good of a talent. And I want to see that matchup of how Jonathan Gannon game plans for Kyle Pitts along with Calvin Ridley going against Matt Ryan. I just look on that offense versus defense side, I see that a lot. Personally, I mean, in Vegas, right? That's just interesting itself.
Okay, it's for Vegas. Sure.
But I think looking at from a football X's and O standpoint, I look at the Atlanta Falcons games the most, and then the first Giants game just to see, because the Giants are treating this like the Eagles, like this is their Super Bowl this year, and the hate's going back, the hate that they have and the mentions that keep going on Twitter about the Eagles. I think that's the second game I look forward to as well.
You think you'll be able to make it down to a 4th and John tailgate?
I might be able to stop by before heading in there. Only the traffic. I might be able to stop by and say, "Hey,
we got water. We got
got whatever you need.
Tachi's tomato food, pie. So
fuel up before you head into the stadium.
We don't want you getting sauced up before the game.
Oh, no, wouldn't do that. Definitely wouldn't do that. No.
Chris Franklin is streaking on the 50.
Nobody wants to see that. Nobody wants to see what's here right now across the board. Eagles reporter running around doing stupid stuff. Hey, is this what the NJ.com wants? Nah, I can't.
Not today. I mean, it's, being a Eagles beat reporter is hard enough, but I think in your past, you've done things more difficult than covering the Eagles. I think this is more of a safe job for you, because I think you've done things a little bit more. You've lived a little bit dangerously in your past. Here we go. What is this all about?
Hey everyone, we're about to go live on the NJ.com Facebook page to tell everyone what's going on out here. But to give you a sneak peek, let me show you what's about to be. You see the spread coming out here? Listen to those waves, the wind going on. Some pretty gnarly waves too.
Chris was talking about gnarly waves, and I was like,
"Did you have an anchor attached to your ankle or something to keep you on the ground?"
I lost my. And a funny thing, that old head, I lost it twice before we were doing the Facebook Live, and that was the tropical storm that passed through last year. That was I think it was like a week or two before I joined the beat, and I was finishing up the news, and then the tropical storm hit, and I was like, "All right, we'll do this." That was, and this is gonna sound weird, I had a lot of fun doing that, because when it comes to those weather stuff, I mean, I was down in Cape May for that big blizzard and walking around. That was fun. But that by far was a lot of fun. I mean, granted, I had grains of sand in my beard for like the next week trying to get it out. But
oh, yeah. Good luck.
That storm was crazy. And I mean, there's tornadoes spawning down short towns down the way. We got back in the car. It's like, oh, another tornado spawned. Like, oh, okay, on the way this way. So it was, that storm was crazy. I mean, don't get me wrong, I would do it again if it if it was thing is like
I was like, how do you get man. That? Are you guys in the office like eeny meeny miny mo? Chris, you're going today. Like, how do you get you get nominated for that, or you said just take
that? Was my coverage area, because for a time before I came over here, I was covering Cape May County, like basically the bottom four southernmost counties in Jersey. I was covering them, doing the local news for there. So going there's like, hey, when they say, hey, the storm's coming up, hey, we want you to go down storm. I'm like, okay, yes, please, I'll do that. Like, yeah. I like being those, like being up close in the action times that when it was on the news side, it was interesting because you get the true sense of the feeling, you can convey it in your stories more. And that was a rough time.
I mean, that's way cooler though than like a regular, like, cookie cutter type interview where you're out there on the street, like you got the wind whipping and all that. Like that's something that you add to your reel. That's a cool little moment there.
it's just that last year, just thinking about 2020 alone, I covered when President Trump came to cover a Wildworth thing, I did that. Mm-hmm. When COVID hit, did that. When Atlantic City was shut down, did that. When the protests and social justice going through, I was in the middle of that. It was just one after another and after another. It was just craziness. And I'm glad I'm more on vacation, like catching up. Like, and you just sit there sometimes, you think like, wow, all this happened in 1 year.
It's ooh, wild. 2020 is, rough. 2020 is going to be its own class in future history class. Yeah. This is going to be its own class.
I mean, you also forgot that Carson Wentz and possibly Ben Simmons could be moved in the same year. I mean, that's kind of crazy. So
craziness. Everything that's happening is it's rough. It's rough. It's never boring. Can say that. Definitely say that. It's never
for
boring.
Sure. For sure.
Yeah. And I was just thinking about your career, you know, it just in this short moment, like all the things that the first question I asked, it was just like one of those things, like he's seen so much in such a short time. And I'm like, he's going to be telling these stories when you're like 60.
When I was your age, I seen Ben Simmons and Carson Wentz trade in the year.
I came from a car salesman and a cell phone salesman to all of a sudden write for coach and player to all of a sudden I saw Ben Simmons and he tried to shoot and he passed it up. It's been so much. This path, this arc it took to his career, has been crazy. It's just crazy. And then now to see all this stuff happen up close, I always say reporters are custodians of history, really are. And to see all this stuff happening in Philadelphia right now is keeping us busy, but it's cool to be up front in person, seeing all these stories and be able to convey what's going on and telling these stories. It's unique.
Definitely, man.
Well, I mean, we really appreciate you stopping by and sharing your experiences and giving the intel. It's great to hear from people that are on the inside and get the perspective that all the fans are dying to hear. We're like 2 weeks out from camp. Any last words you want to leave with the fans before you get out of here?
Enjoy this time. I know you guys had it was a rough year last year. Enjoy this time coming in there for you guys. For us, it was weird not seeing fans. We had to limit that little stretch where we have fans, but not seeing a full Lincoln Financial Field, it was really weird. And I think having the fans in there adds an element to our stories. And when you hear either is the cheers or the boos, it adds to it. And you get that sense you feel, especially when stuff's happening. So I'm looking forward to seeing all you guys back. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Evan. Thank you, Gail, for having me on. And look forward to talking to you guys and talking to everybody else, either social media, out foregoing the games, any what have you, or any other thing. I always love talking football. So thank you guys, and thank you guys for reading and watching this and everything else.
Absolutely, yeah, man. Thank you for hopping on. I mean, it was we're talking about how you were, you know, in the beginning of you're covering players in the beginning of their budding careers, and obviously you are just going up, bro. You're going up. I'm excited to see where you go, man.
Thanks, man. And likewise, man. It's always fun seeing this. I seen your podcast. So being on here is really cool. So thank you, guys. Seriously, thank you.
I mean, hey, if anytime I could, you know, interview a budding
new kid on the block,
R&B star, man. Hey, man, that's what it's all about.
Oh, gosh, that's great.
I'm gonna try and get your autograph before we get out of here.
I'll devalue. I'll devalue the paper. Sorry, you don't want that.
But for me and Evan, we just want to thank you for being here, and we will see you in the next one. Hopefully, get some training. We're gonna have you back once training camp starts.
I'd be happy to be on. Thank you guys very much.
All right, man. Awesome, man. As always, go Birds and fly Eagles, fly.